Today we're talking about broken promises and all those types of things, and the Voice campaign, the announcement there by the current Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese.
But somewhat underwhelmed, Uluru Dialogue co-chair Megan Davis posting on social media, it's literally the same announcement as last GAMA. The Prime Minister wasn't in the mood for further discussion.
Hey, Bill and Gunn, and welcome to Black Wall Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today as we travel around the airwaves across the world thanks to the Yidinji Broadcast Service and our friends at Bumabipra Media 98.7 FM. If you're listening inside of Australia, it's via the National Indigenous Radio Service. Our friends, wherever you are listening to this program, thank you for joining us and for supporting us for all these years now. Today we're talking about broken promises and all those types of things. And as you know, the GAMA Festival took place recently in northeast Arnhem Land there somewhere. I guess it's one of those places where it becomes topical once every year. And of course, it was the home of the famous The Voice campaign, the announcement there by the current Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese. Now that's happened, let's take a listen to Sky News this just to give us some preparation and discussion points. Have a listen to this first.
Anthony Albanese has returned to the GAMA Festival in northeast Arnhem Land, announcing a new partnership to drive economic development in Indigenous communities. Some have criticised the plan, believing the Prime Minister is rehashing old news.
The GAMA Festival in northeast Arnhem Land is a celebration of song, dance and culture. But it's also a place for the serious business of Indigenous politics. Almost 2 years on, the failed Voice referendum still looms large at this event.
We talked about it last year and we shed a tear together. And now it's behind us.
The curse of Indigenous disadvantage, however, lives on. This week's Closing the Gap report revealed just 4 of 15 targets measured were on track.
There are good intentions and what is described as hard work, but without crunching systemic change, there will be no betterment.
On his fourth trip to GAMA since taking office, the Prime Minister announced a new economic partnership with the Coalition of Peak Indigenous Organisations.
This builds on our commitment to the Closing the Gap Agreement, to its call for a new way of doing business and to the principles of shared decision making.
There was also $75 million to help development for native title holders and $31 million for the delivery of TAFE in remote communities.
Utes and trailers that will enable teachers to take skills on the road and train the next generation of mechanics, carpenters, plumbers and workers in the Aboriginal community-controlled sector.
There was conditional support from the opposition.
Well, we welcome the Prime Minister's focus on economic participation. That's always been the focus of the Coalition's priorities in Indigenous affairs. And the Prime Minister has said that this will be a time of delivery. We and the Coalition will be holding him to account.
But some were underwhelmed. Uluru Dialogue co-chair Megan Davis posting on social media, it's literally the same announcement as last GAMA. The Prime Minister wasn't in the mood for further discussion.
Have you lost your ambition for broader reform in more tricky areas like treaty,
truth-telling? I'm talking to the First Nations leaders.
Will you speak to us after?
I'm talking to the First Nations leaders as a priority with respect.
The Yolngu people of northeast Arnhem Land are no strangers to disappointment. They were first promised a treaty by Bob Hawke at the Barunga Festival in 1988. Almost 40 years on, they have promised to keep the fire burning.
Even though we live with shattered dreams, we must keep looking to the future.
Well, there you go. I think it was interesting there, a different number of points raised there, Ganyara, and one of the ones that was mentioned later on in that report from Sky News was Professor Megan Davis saying that there was pretty much the same announcement as last year. So is Australia running out of ideas, or what's the story there, you think?
Same old, same old. Let's just kick the can down the road a bit further, you know. So Australia has run out of ideas. But they've got to try and convince the Aboriginal people to not go back and assert their sovereignty. They've got to convince the Australian Aboriginals to stay within Australia. When I said that very specifically too, by the way, the Aboriginal Australians, because if you want to identify as an Australian a citizen through an Australian identity, well, you know, you can be a Chinese and be a Chinese Australian, or you can be Canadian Australian, or you can be Aboriginal Australian. Doesn't really matter, because the Australian citizen is the Australian citizen, and they got to obey all the rules of Australia, you know, the laws and conditions of Australia. So, yeah, they're running out. What they don't want, by the way, is for the Aboriginal people to give up that Australian idea of, you know, the great Australia, and go back and assert their sovereignty, which they have every right to do, because sovereignty hasn't been ceded in this part of the world. So, look, Megan Davis, you know, she's a constitutional lawyer. She's a constitutional expert. She was part of the advisory group, by the way, for the constitutional advisory group to The Voice to make recommendations to the Prime Minister regarding the referendum. And it came out unanimously. She supported it. In a letter to Adam Bandt, the Greens bloke, that sovereignty is unaffected. The Aboriginal sovereignty is unaffected by whatever Australia does. So if you want to stay in Australia, you know, and try and get some representation, you're not affecting the sovereignty of the Aboriginal nations. They're out there to go and do their thing, and Australia cannot affect what they're doing.
It's true, and Yirrkala, I'll bring you in here because I think we've seen this, like, and certainly in my lifetime. I've only been here for a little bit, but it's the same machine, but just different names. Like I lived during a time where in Australia where there was different names for different departments. They just changed the names, but the results would still be the same. It really is just a one-trick pony.
Yeah, absolutely. It really struck me. I suppose it was a few years back when the worldwide attention was brought to Black Lives Matter, and there was, of course, in many cities and towns throughout Australia, demonstrations and public speaking, and I attended one of those and listened to some of the brilliant speakers who have been working so hard and diligently in the area to achieve, you know, better rights, better everything for the people who have been held down since the land was taken away from them, and like Anyara says, but not ceded, you know, still sovereign people, and speaking in ways that I realised, wait a minute, I've heard this before, I've heard it more than once before. The same people saying the same things. And, you know, to their credit, realistically, you know, this has been going on a lot longer than I've been alive. And yet there's been no violence. You know, certainly violence when the colonial ships arrived, and continuing violence upon the people, and, you know, some very small resistance by standards of what was done to the original people here. And yet, unlike other countries throughout the world where there's been outright wars, that never really happened here. And it's a testimony to the morality of the tribal groups in this continent that is just not the way to do it. It's about you know love one another, love your neighbour, that sort of thing. And while that remains, you know, this is why Yidinji has taken the path we're on. You know, it's not going to work if you go down the path of violence. You're under Australian law, so yeah, the first thing you're going to do is get locked up, and there is no allowance for any of that. But Yidinji's chosen to use the pen.
Yeah, and I think Ganyara's mentioned a few times that the pen is mightier than the sword in that world. And but I do get, not say discouraged, but I get frustrated, even though I'm not living in that world, let's say. But hearing the same old thing over and over again, you know, more money for this and a few more TAFEs this. But when you look at, for example, Northern Territory juvenile detention, I think in the last year or thereabouts was, you know, around 400 young people. Out of that, I think 380 or 388 or something like that were Indigenous children or young people. So, yeah, you might be spending more money on TAFE and this, that and the other, but there's this whole new generation that's being subject to institutionalised, whatever you want to call it, corrections or trauma, whatever it may be. It is what it is, and it depends on what you're selling. You know, is it trauma or is it, you know, justice, for example? But that in any part of the world, locking up your future leaders is not a very good sign that things are going well in Australia.
Quite obviously, their system of justice is working, isn't it? Do you think about it, the numbers are going through the roof in jail, Aboriginal people, that is. The numbers of black deaths, you know, in custody, going through the roof. Quite obviously, that's working very well for them. So you see what I'm saying? None of it works. None of their stuff works. And you wonder why. We're still going down the same old road. As they said, Bob Hawke offered to do a treaty going back, what, you know, 30, 40 years ago? What happened to that idea? Australia can't do a treaty because it might lose some of its authority. So let's just bash the blackfella a bit more. That's the whole thing. Keep them suppressed and put out there on, by the way, on Sky News. Bring Pauline Hanson into it. Oh, sure, I'm an Indigenous Australian. Them Aboriginal people should be thankful for what they got. You know, Jacinda Price was saying that. Oh, well, they're going to be thankful for colonialism. Oh, we got running water. Give me a break. They took all the stuff off us. Then they said, you're poor. Then they started to kill us and said, you know, use of the terrorist lot. By the way, I think going back to one of the early governors of the colonial world said, let's terrorise the Aboriginal people to frighten them down there, you know, around Sydney. Frighten them so they don't rebel or they don't stand up against us. He actually used the word terror. Who are the terrorists? The terrorists are the colonial world and the Australians because they've continued it. They've just kept terrorising, suppressing and oppressing the Aboriginal people. By the way, let's go back to the UN Resolution 1514, 1960. You cannot oppress people. You've got to let them be free. Otherwise, you're acting contrary to the Charter of the UN. And I'm talking about manifestations of colonialism. Guess what? Australia is a manifestation of colonialism. Even its High Court in the Chetcuti case said that when the indivisible English crown manifested into the crown and right of Australia. That's a manifestation. The manifestation which is oppressing people, which is terrorising and holding them down, acting contrary to the Charter of the UN, is saying, let's keep locking them up. Let's keep offering them this dream of a treaty down the road one day, a treaty with Indigenous Australians. You can't treaty with Indigenous Australians because I think John Howard said a nation can't treaty with itself. You're dead right. That's why your dingy's back doing its thing, asserting its sovereignty. We have to assert our sovereignty to be there to offer a treaty to Australia. What can Australia offer Yidinji? Nothing.
Yeah, unlike the British, I mean, the Yidinji nation today is not chopping the heads off its enemies and putting them on sticks at a Skeleton Creek. And that's the history of this land. So when we're talking about truth-telling and all those things, I wonder how many people that live in Gimoi know those stories and the shocking truths and the blood that's been spilled here.
You mentioned truth-telling. Didn't Queensland Police recently come out, or last year it was, they weren't going to participate in truth-telling? Why? Why not take part in truth-telling? Be honest, be upfront. We done this. No more. They know the truth, all right. They know that what they done was verging on genocide. It really was. Forced assimilation, crimes against humanity. And they're frightened of it? You know, at least the Victorian Police Commissioner come out at the Yurok stuff and said, sovereignty of the Aboriginal people was unceded. We done some bad stuff down here. We done a lot of bad stuff. At least he stood up. But the Queensland Police, their commissioner, we're not going to be in that world. Oh, no way. We don't want to tell the truth. Why? Because you're frightened of something. What are you frightened of? Skeletons in the closet, you know. Have a look around. You like you just said, Skeleton Creek. Wonder why they call it Skeleton Creek. Why did they call it Bones Knob? Why would you call it Butcher's Creek? You know, why? Think about what had happened there. So Skull Lagoon, there's a place up there, up in Tableland, Skull Lagoon. What's in there? Oh, you mean human skulls? Were they white fellas or black fellas? They were black fellas. You know, this is where it's all out there. Tell the truth. Be up front. Be a man. Don't be some squib that wants to hide behind a dress, you know, a little skirt. I'm going to hide. No more. Tell the truth. We'll work it out as adults. So this is what I'm saying. So Yidinji had to do what it's doing. We can't go to Garma and say, yeah, you can promise another 40 years of on the road, we'll do a treaty. No, well, we have to do what we're doing, and we will fund our own autonomous ways and means for our own autonomous function. We will do what we've got to do, and we're going to do it our way. Australia's got nothing to offer us because they refuse to come to the party.
Well, that was the idea behind Albanese's launch of this economic plan, and there was talks about, you know, sovereign futures or this, that kind of stuff. But really, it is the same exercise, Yerlim. And, you know, this is where Yidinji is different in that it's created its own government structure based on the cultural roots, which is the tribal system, in a modern context. And we're not using Australian money. We're using sovereign Yidinji dollars, which is the SID. Now, that's still growing, obviously, and we're building it. But it's, you know, the intention there is to really stand alone.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what each tribal group in this whole beautiful continent have got the ability to do, and that's certainly a special opportunity, because you know, my experience has been I've witnessed the difference between how you're treated legally because of the colour of your skin. And it's just, you know, why would you choose to be under that? There are other options, and Yidinji have done that. And we've had so many new citizens come to us with that relief that there is another option.
But even then, the relief, or the knowing that there is a different way, let's talk about mob now, coming in here and seeing it's run totally different, that, you know, the way that we do things is culturally sound. You know, a lot of it is volunteer, a lot of it's free, and the government does truly work for the people. So it's a different model, and in that it's has its roots very, very deep in the ancestral makeup of this land, and that's what's appealing about it as well.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's one very, very big thing that, you know, Australia is missing out on, you know, to have a government that isn't run from the highest moral sense. You know, the culture of the Yidinji people is what created the government. And because that was created by the elders of and the knowledge and the wisdom from the past, it enables us to stand, have right standing, really. It's not about, it's definitely about, you know, going down that path where, you know, people are treated the right way, and there's no other option. There's no other way of doing it.
Good, you know, I'll bring you back in now about this kicking can down the road exercise again. I really do believe that Australia has run out of ideas. It can't. It's set itself in stone in that it committed to these international instruments that it would decolonize. It would honor the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Not that we were the ones that created those documents, but they did that, and now they're running out of space to move in, because the international community now is starting to realise what the truth is here.
Yeah, the truth that Australia is not the almighty one, it's the belligerent occupant here. Because we can demonstrate this now. I've actually, through the department, created the case, I suppose is the best way of putting it, of evidence to demonstrate that Australia is nothing more than a belligerent occupant. It's got no right to be here. It hadn't been given any approval by us, and we can prove it through their law, not through anything else, through case law, that they are a belligerent occupant, that are oppressing and holding down the Aboriginal people of this country by persuading them to be within their world. You know, oh, come in and you become an Aboriginal Australian. We'll give you, oh, by the way, a ute with a trailer on the back. You can go out and teach your kids to learn whatever. You know, what did Dutton say there? Oh, just get them out of those remote areas, get them out of them remote communities and bring them into Brisbane or bring them into Sydney or bring them into Melbourne. That's going to go down really well, eh? You're going to leave all that land out there. Got to come off your homeland to come in to get some economic development, you know. Meanwhile, their country, you look at some of those remote communities, I think there's one of the biggest iron ore deposits being found recently on that remote country. Wonder why you want them off there. Get a ute with a trailer and teach them to come into Brisbane or come into Sydney. I wonder why. This is the economic development that we said, okay, look, have a nice day, Australia. We've got every right to do what we're doing. The case has been built. The argument has been built now in advance for when they do bump up against Yidinji, because we're going to lead the way in this charge, and development will take place, and it is in the process of being formulated now as we speak to develop our country for our people, or actually for all Australians, to be honest, but mainly for our people to stand up and go forward and look after itself. In the Yidinji dollar, not in Australian dollars. That's very important to understand jurisdiction of money, where it comes from, where it goes, and how it can be forced to. You can be forced to comply with it. You know, I was talking to one old bloke down Townsville way, going back a number of years now, about the coal royalties. Coal at the time for coke and coal was $100 a ton. It was off his country. He was getting 2 cents a ton. Meanwhile, there's a $100 value on that ton of coal. He gets 2 cents out of it. And he was happy because he was getting that much coal going out, they could actually buy stuff. But 2 cents? His coal to him should have been worth $40 a ton instead of 2 cents. Why? Because the government had removed him off his country, said, you're now an Aboriginal Australian. You can't go out and protest the mine that we have authorised, that they had no right to. Australia had no right to authorise that. So they got him off his country and let the coal flow and give him 2 cents instead of the $40. That's where Australia was pocketing, you know, $20 or $30 a tonne out of that, maybe more, as royalties going in and went to the southeast corner. How much money was spent from that coal royalty was spent on his country? Next to nothing. You have a look at the roads, it's terrible. Even here, I was only just talking to a bloke the other day about, you know, how the rest of the world can develop and we can't. Australia, they don't want us up here as Australians. So we're going back to Yidinja. So look, we'll develop our part of the world under the international mechanisms that are out there. Try and intervene with us. We got a case against you that we'll drag into the court. And I was told a couple of years ago that the Aboriginal people have enough sovereignty to develop an international persona, develop an international character that can go into the courts over there, the ICA, the ICJ, the ICC, as a member of the international sphere of law. Once you get standing there, then Australia's going to be held accountable. You know, so they don't want this. They want you to go and beg for a ute with a trailer so you can go and give some TAFE training to your kids that they're oppressing. And they flood them areas with alcohol. They flood them with drugs. They let the drugs come in. Let the alcohol come in and affect the minds of the young up-and-coming generations to keep them down, keep them oppressed, keep them... This is, by the way, a form of terrorism.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. When I was... I did a report many years ago on domestic violence, and part of that was economic violence. So whether it was the man controlling the woman on how to spend the money or vice versa. And that is exactly the same model that Australia exercises on its citizens who may be of Aboriginal descent, let's say, or Torres Strait Islander. So, you know, we're going to give you this money, but it's earmarked, but you're going to have to report. You can't spend it on this. It's very, very tightly controlled. And if you don't do what we say, then we're going to remove the funding from you. So that is clearly has happened in our lifetime, Yirrlim, that is a way of controlling people, not only through what Gunyara was saying, through alcohol and, you know, even digital content these days, pornography and all those things are quite easy to get now. In terms of, you know, children can touch that one few buttons, they're there on a phone. That's another emerging issue. That's a thing, and AI is the next version of that, I guess. But when we're talking about financial restriction and you know, it is clearly part of the plan.
Yeah, of course, and it's actually, you know, part of the plan, but also at the same time a demonstration of the fault in the system. Why you'll never see change for any Indigenous Australians, because the system is corrupt within itself. It allows decisions to be made that, you know, does exactly what you're talking about, whether it's, you know, financial violence. It's designed to keep people away from any notion of sovereignty. And, you know, that's why Yidinja is here, to make sure that people have an understanding that there is another option. Because it's obvious, as we've been talking about the whole session, that this is a going round in circles sort of a situation with Australia and Indigenous rights.
And Gunyara, we can even talk... I mean, you can talk about anything, even family law, the dissatisfaction and discord with the family law system and the courts is absolutely at an all-time... I've spoken to people recently that are just flabbergasted by the whole lot. It's costing them $80,000 to get a lawyer and this, that and the other, and they didn't get anything from it. In fact, they lost it, certain things, men and women I'm talking about. It really is an unusual beast of a thing.
All I can say is be careful of law. Be very, very careful of law. Lawyers talk to each other. I know a number of very high-profile barristers and lawyers. And the first thing they say, just put $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 into my account. Actually, there was a the other day on the news about the compensation for the stolen wages. Shine lawyers, bill $99 million. Poor old Murray bloke, that's only lucky to get $5,000-$10,000 out of that for compensation for his family that's had the wages stolen from him. Yet the lawyers group, the Shine lawyers, got this huge amount of money. They said, oh, we had to put smart people in. Good go. The case was already won before it started, because the government knew they took the money. That's why they called it the stolen wages case. It was stolen. The government was responsible for perpetrating these crimes against the Aboriginal people, and the lawyers, most of them are politicians, by the way, lawyers. You know, they turn up to be a politician and get their snout in the trough. There's many things I could say about that, which is just not quite nice, but we won't say it on air. So be careful of lawyers. They do work together. You know, these could. How far can we go to extract the money, to get the money out of the people? Family law is terrible. It really is cruel, that. And there is no justice in that world, you know. But because the lawyers are seeing you bring forward your financials. Tell them how much you've got left in the bank. Oh, you've run out of money. Oh, well, have a nice day. We'll abandon you now. You've got no money to pay for my service. Away you go. You're right to go. Now, even though you lost everything, you lost the house, you lost the kids, you lost the cat, you know, everything's gone. So all I can say is be careful of lawyers. Understand that as Aboriginal people, we get our own systems of law. And this is where real justice will be heard, you know. Like Yidinji, for example. We're talking about the other day digital free trade zones. We're talking about building these ports of ingress and egress out of the country that Australia want to claim is theirs. Is it really their country to stop us? Putting, you know, immigration points in, putting customs points in. How can they stop us? What instrument, what doctrine are they going to use, domestic or international, are they going to use to demonstrate they've got sovereignty to stop the Aboriginal people from putting their stuff together? That's going to be a huge one for them.
Exactly. You're listening to Black Law Trial Edition right across the planet today, thanks to the Yidinji Broadcast Service and our friends at Bummer Bipper Media, 98.7 FM. We'll be back after the break.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I just had me a good year and I doubled up on my funds. Got a gold plaque on my wall now, said I take it all as it comes. I just put a ring on my girl now, cause I've been knowing she the one. And we just had us a son, new times have only begun. I told you all we ain't done. Built a studio in my hometown, black fellas with a new sound. If you didn't know, well you know now. Only real shit in my DNA, Gorma Roy, I ain't come to play. Bid you good with my people, stay from the 35 at the lop away. Was an underdog in my city, odds stacked up, I had to get gritty. Flip two packs or so, it's no biggie. Still all gratitude, it's no pity. Too much work to do to get litty. Hustle hard, I stay smart like Fitty. Can't stop and won't stop, no ditty. They tryna fake the way I'm like, really? We work hard to get to this spot. All this blood and sweat that I've dropped. All these eyes on me that stay watch. That's for my daughter and them, I stay locked. I used to dream of shit that I've got. No matter what goals I kick, I won't stop. I work hard in places they not. The times that I've dropped, I pick myself up to get to the top. One time for my day ones, two time for the fake ones. Who gon' hate on but won't say none, Three time for the go-getters, take a flight with no propellers. My warriors and my storytellers, I said one time for them day ones, two time for the fake ones. Who gon' hate on but won't say none, Three time for them go-getters, take flight with no propellers. My warriors and my storytellers, bottom up, we gon' get it done. On the grind till my body's numb and I can pass the torch down to my son. We gon' show the world where it's meant to be. Hard work for my destiny, I hope it pays off before I rest in peace. And my children all get the best of me. Set the blueprint for my next of kin. Set yourself in the place you're in. Share the knowledge, how you got it now. In a couple years, see the rest gon' win. Plenty room in these industries. If there's no, we gon' make it be. Paid the way for the MOB. That's a middle finger to the colony. I'ma go in to be all on. Tell these people where we from. Make known why we belong, show the whole world that they've been sleeping on. Watch close how they act now. Neighborhood on my back now. Much to lose, I can't back down. I'm a king, bros, that's a fact now. One time for my day ones, two time for the fake ones. Who gon' hate on but won't say none, Three time for them go getters, take a flight with no propellers. My warriors and my storytellers, I said one time for them day ones, two time for the fake ones. Gonna hate on but won't say none, Three time for them go-getters, take flight with no propellers. My warriors and my storytellers,
Yes, welcome back to the show. You know, having a dig at lawyers. I know a few good ones that are ethical and do pro bono stuff as well. But, yeah, I guess if you're involved in an illegal area, you know, they sort of know those the tricks and the nooks and crannies of the legal system. But it is a double-edged sword for Australia. So it doesn't matter what kind of lawyers they have, they can't really do what they've done here. Undone, they can't undo it all, Ganyara. This is the whole point now, is that because of their law, they are now bound and stuck, pardon me, where the indigenous nations on this continent can now pursue a true remedy, which is through their own sovereign expression.
Well, you mentioned Megan Davis a little earlier in the show. Megan Davis and George Williams, two constitutional lawyers, two constitutional experts, very highly regarded in Australia, wrote a series of books, you know, about this. And they do mention that there's nothing. The Australian Constitution is Australia's point of view only. Not our point of view. It's not the point of view from Yidinji, because we've got our constitution. That's our view. But they say there's nothing to stop the Aboriginal people asserting their sovereignty. Nothing. What is stopping the Aboriginal people from asserting their sovereignty is they're too busy fighting and arguing inside Australia over the Australian dollar to get a ute with a trailer on the back to go out and do what? They want you to be there. They want you to be inside Australia. They want you to be in there arguing over family law issues. Meanwhile, you could go back and express your sovereignty, as these constitutional experts said, and the whole group, the whole group of that were advising the Prime Minister on the referendum over the voice stuff, they said that Australian stuff cannot affect those Aboriginal people going back and asserting their sovereignty. Nothing can, because they're foreign. Yidinji are foreign to Australia. The Aboriginal people, in their true capacity, as the owners, by the way, as Uluru Statement says, you own this country under your law, not Australian law. You're the owners of this land under Aboriginal law. There's nothing Australia can do to affect those people. That's why the sovereignty is unseated and unextinguished. It can't be extinguished by Australia. Nothing Australia can do can affect that. So they write these books, and yet no one's talking about it. No one in media, like Sky News, when they dare not report this stuff, they want to contain everyone inside Australia. They want you to be an Aboriginal Australian, like Jacinta. She's a good Aboriginal Australian. I'd call her a native trooper, because, you know, they used to use blackfellas to go and shoot blackfellas once. I think they're still doing it, by the way, somehow. And it's sad to see that you may do well inside Australia, but the real authority lies outside of Australia, in your sovereignty, where you become the real owners and you can create whatever legislation you want, you know, for your own domestic and international world. So like Yidinji is going to go and do, because Australia cannot represent us at law in the international sphere, because it's got no right to be here as a belligerent occupant on our country that's not obeying the Charter of the UN. So how can they be a good international representative if they're not obeying the Charter of the UN? So we said, okay, we'll go and develop our own international persona. We're going to do it.
Yeah, I think Jacinta's an easy target. The same with, I mean, people used to talk about Noel and everybody. Like, it's just like, if someone's having standing up in that world, then whatever political opponent they may have, they become the target. So, you know, it might have been Dodson or Senator Dodson or whoever it is, Senator McCarthy, from the Conservative side, they'd have a go at them. And if it's just Jacinta or this young Ben Solo that's coming up for the coalition, you know, former banking expert and diplomat in Austin, I think, or North America somewhere in Texas, you don't hope that you don't wish it on them, but that's, unfortunately, it is the political system. It is blood sport, and the blood sport that people, you know, will receive an injury here and there.
It is what it is. It is what it is. You know, that's you've got to call it for what it is. Now, if someone like Jacinta come along and said, look, I'm also going to operate in the sovereignty world, the world of sovereignty, where we can go back to our people and take our knowledge back to our people and get them to revitalise our original society, bring it back to life, bring back the government to do a treaty with the hope of doing a treaty with Australia. Now, remember, when I talk about Jacinta, there's a woman who can be seen through two identities. Jacinta Price, the Australian identity, is an Australian identity. It is what it is. This is in the world of paper, the science of law. This is what it is. Not the woman, but she's seen through that inside the Commonwealth of Australia. Show me where Australia is. Show me the Commonwealth of Australia. I want to see it out there in the real world. It's not out there. It's hanging on a wall somewhere. It's called the Constitution. That's all gammon. It's all make-believe stuff that people actually put in their mind as being real. But she's got every right to go back to her mob as well and say, look, here we are. There's two stories here. I'm going to play in both worlds. And you can do this because you're seen through the legal identity. You aren't it, but you're seen through it. So she could. Why aren't these constitutional experts, Megan Davis, for example, what does she claim to be? Down there somewhere, their mob down there, claiming to be one of them, yet she's only playing inside Australia. So I'm going to call it for what it is. It is what it is. Now, if you're going to be a native trooper, just say, look, I'm a native trooper and I'm going to stay inside Australia and I'm going to sort out, you know, them Aboriginal people. Don't claim to be one of them if you're not going to sort out, you know, if you're not going to resolve the issue for Australia's benefit as well. Not for us. We got our, we don't need to prove our case. I was told in 2023, we don't need to prove our case. Australia's got to prove its case. And if you want to be seen for an Australian identity, you're part of the problem that can't prove its case, because they've actually told me that Australia does not have any doctrine, international, domestic, anything, that says it has obtained sovereignty properly. It's just alleging that it's got it. It's just coercing people that it's got it. Coercion, that's a bit strange in the world of law. You're coercing people now. Is that?
Yeah, or deceptive recruiting, whatever you want to call it. This is the whole point now. Yirrkala, I think, for those people inside of Australia who haven't settled there, let's say, Aboriginal people, that might want to look at going down what Yidinja's doing. I mean, this is the whole point of why our government exists today, is because the elders have put trust in this vehicle to drive it everywhere and to do their bidding, but also to pass on that message to the other nations. And clearly that's what we're doing. I think that's a very important part of the job. Yes, we can create the mechanism and all these things just for Yidinja if we wanted to, but the whole point about it is sharing it with the other nations.
And that's probably one of the major differences, you know. The Australian legal system, which is really what is really Australia is. You know, Australia is really a legal system. It's about choosing for people who choose to be Australians only, come under every law that's within that constitution. And Yidinja has a different system. We've made our government so it can be recognised. It looks a little bit like Australia. You know, we've got, you know, all of our different instruments that we have, so we can communicate with other international players such as Australia and so forth, and many of the other nations we talk to. But the difference being that, you know, the influence that comes from behind us, we don't follow our own decisions when it comes to anything cultural. You know, the cultural aspects. And, you know, to put it in the terms of, so Australia might understand that, you know, things like housing, education, health, aged care, environment, arts, all these things aren't decided by our government. You know, we don't have the final say on that. It's the cultural direction that we are given that allows us to make decisions. And you would not see the Yidinja government making decisions like the Australian government is in those areas.
Yeah, I mean, if it's literally writing law, then the one that writes the law here in the Yidinja Territory and for the government, it hasn't got a Washington or a Westminster mindset. It is a 100% Yidinja cultural mindset and how to codify this land and this laws that govern the land.
Precisely, and that's why we're blending or adopting the old law and putting it in a form that the international world can see. You know, so they say, okay, where's your act for your Citizenship Act? Okay, we wrote it out. Here it is. Here's the Citizenship Act. Now, we're doing this under legislation. What about your police society? You know, in the old world, there was policing. No two ways about that. The Aboriginal tribe did have a form of policing. But we said, yeah, we'll just write that now into a modern form that the rest of the world can see. Yeah, we got our blokes with badges on their shoulders and they strut around doing their stuff. And that's what policing is all about. You know, you got to respect the policeman. So where is it? It's in legislation. And this is the very argument that Yidinja is putting forward to the world. Why is Australian legislation better or worse than ours? It can't be better than ours. Ours has to be the best because it's coming from a point of sovereignty that's unceded, unextinguished. And we don't have to prove, as an Aboriginal nation, we don't have to prove our case. Australia must prove its case to have its police on our country. This is the important part about that. It's the position of time in sovereignty, which is we're still here, we haven't gone away, which is why they don't want us to go back to there, because when we go back to that position of sovereignty first in time, the one second in time is Australia now. They've got to prove their case, which is why they want everyone over there in Australia so that they don't have to prove their case. But I'm afraid to say it's coming to the stage where as we develop now our economic functions, which is happening as we speak, we're developing the international persona to go forward. There's quite a fair bit. There's a lot going on in the background that I can't really say too much about yet. But I tell you what. It's going to create a scatter. Australia will be damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. If they pull up, they try and stop us what we're doing, They've got to prove what doctrine they're going to use to say they're the boss of the wash. If they don't stop us doing what we're doing, if they can't, then what is the sovereignty of Australia all about?
The only way that anyone can stop Yidinji is, let's say I jumped in a boat and I took some Yidinji flags and a few things there. I went to London and I just planted it in London and said, this is now the Yidinji territory. If I did that, not only would it be a laughing stock, but it would be a demonstrably fallacious claim. But guess what? So is Australia. So is Britain on every tribal nation's territory. That claim is false. It is only a remnant of history now. But once you understand sovereignty and that you move forward and you assert it in a way that the rest of the world can see it through written law, then that's the key. You got to have to do it. You can't just wait for it, Australia, to give it to on a silver plate.
Think of this one. You want a real curly one? Australia's claiming to control of the international border. Immigration, for example, is a good one. People jump on a plane come from England. Jump on a plane in England and fly to Australia. They get off and go through an immigration checkpoint. So as an English citizen, they're coming in for a holiday and they scan their passport and get in. Now, they've entered Australia. What would happen if Yidinji has an immigration law, which it does have, by the way, and a customs law, all this stuff, an immigration checkpoint. You fly into Yidinji. You come from England and you fly into a Yidinji airport, which is, by the way, very, very close. So you fly into one. Immigration checkpoint. Have you entered Australia or have you entered Yidinji? Now, if you have entered Yidinji territory, are you really in Australia? Does Australian law have any say in the Yidinji realm if that citizen of England has entered Yidinji? Now, what's the sovereignty of Australia if as Yidinji do this, and it is, and it's happening, when it gets built, sitting there, and those citizens have entered Yidinji, our jurisdiction takes over, our customs officer, our immigration officer takes over. What can Australia do? Australia will be destroyed from within if it keeps going down this road of kicking this can down the road forever. It can't keep going. It has to sit and talk because Australia has no proof as to how it can be the boss of the wash other than keeping all the Aboriginal people as Aboriginal Australians. We've broken that theory 10 years ago, more, 15 years ago. We've broken that theory and said, no more, it's all over. We're back, we're doing our thing. We're going to do it to better the lives of everyone up here, including the Australians, and not for one Australian dollar. We're not going to accept their money as a token to keep us inside Australia.
Yeah, I think given the, you know, it's the perfect timing, obviously, because communications around the world is instant. You can access documents and historical documents even to really build the case of a nation if you wanted to. So the Yidinji Nation has its position paper, has a whole archive of correspondence that it has sent out, and you know, some other nations are copying that and using that to their benefit. But once again, there's really nothing stopping the Indigenous nations from doing it apart from this, Australian dream that Canberra keeps promoting amongst the Indigenous people, that we're going to look after you and we can do things for you.
Well, you know, it's more than, it is not unique to Australia. Many other countries, you know, place this this paradigm in front of people, this dream of, you know, the Australian dream, the American dream. You hear it through many countries, and it's really totally opposite of traditional cultural views on how to live with each other, because it's not about putting one person up on top and you've made it behind with on the backs of everyone else below you. They're culturally, it's totally the opposite. It's about how we can be there for each other and lift each other up. So, you know, the Australian dream doesn't work. Not if we're talking about everybody getting forward together. If we're going to move forward together, it's about the individual supporting everybody else. And, you know, immediately when anybody thinks about this dream, it's to do with money. That's the first thing that comes to everybody's mind is, you know, this dream of being on top, you know, having all yourself funded and all this sort of thing. And yet, it's not the way it needs to be. You know, it's about us making sure that each of us have all of our basic human rights. And when I say basic, I don't mean lowest quality. I mean basic highest quality rights in, you know, as I said before, education, in food, you know, all these basic things, rather than what we're seeing in our country at the moment where even in Yidinji, but also in all those Australian places that, you know, people choose to still be Australians under their identity, you have some of the poorest quality of living in the world.
Yeah, and you can see the over time now, Ganyara, the Australian dream is sort of waking up to this reality that it's just a dream. It really is, and there's only so far you can believe it, because you're going to have to wake up one day and realise that Australia's in a bit of a predicament, self-inflicted. We didn't do that. So you can't come crying to us and saying, oh, you did this to us. And so, well, actually, it's your own fault. But we can have an intervention, if you like, and we can talk about it. And like a lawyer, I could probably charge you every 15 minutes. I'm just kidding. But, I mean, this is the ridiculous nature of it all, where it really is coming to a boiling point now, where Australia is not only running out of ideas, it's running out of sovereignty, because other nations are buying up this, that, and the other, and multipolarity. And, you know, even just when you talk about dairy farming, the industry is just decimated. So where is it truly headed?
Well, here's a challenge for all those who may listen to it from a law school. You know, we're in the law schools around Australia. Come on, give us a bit of a go. You know, I'm only just a dumb mile. Let's keep it very simple.
I'm not going to disagree.
You don't have to, but but yous are all educated. Yous are all highly educated. Yous are all top of the tree. Meanwhile, we're just down on the ground people. You know, we're just average every day. Produce the doctrine. The doctrine. All I ask for is produce a doctrine, domestic or international, that Australia can use to say it's acquired sovereignty properly. It's got it proper. Just produce that. Give it, send it into the radio station. I don't mind. Give it to anyone. Get it to the office.
Even if it's written in Chinese, we'll get it translated.
I think we will. We're not that smart. Come on, give me a break. No, but look, the doctrine. The doctrine to allow Australia to be here. If yous are almighty, powerful people that have the right to assert sovereignty here, produce the doctrine. That will be recognised as ways and means of doing it, you know, to assert your sovereignty that everyone else can recognise, by the way, international actors can recognise. Not just some, we can because we've got a bigger gun. You can't because you've got a bigger gun. That's all gone. So produce the doctrine to us and I'll change me way. But until then, and I know, by the way, there was a bit of a YouTube channel going back a few weeks where I actually posted that very statement to a constitutional lawyer. I know the comment lasted about 10 minutes online before it was taken down on a channel. You know, fair enough. It might be wrong or right, but she's a constitutional expert. She should be doing a position on Australia's doctrine. But she was one of the members of the expert panel to the referendum, to the Prime Minister, for the voice referendum. So, come on. If you're a very well-educated academic, just for a challenge, prove us wrong. Proves that Australia hasn't got one.
Yeah, be fair to income. Anyway, you're listening to Travel, Black Lord Tribal Edition right across the planet today. We'll be back after the break with some final comments.
Hello, my name is Andrew, and I'm from Arnhem Land. My band called Andrew Guru Band, and you're listening to BBM 98.7.
Welcome back. Final comments, Yirrlim.
Well, you know, it seems like the new Commonwealth Games sport of can kicking is going to be won by Australia again. So, hey, come over to where it's really happening with the Yidinji.
Certainly gold medal standards. Ganyara, the whole point about that is, you know, it's often said that Australia is the only Commonwealth nation that doesn't have a treaty. Once again, you know, we pull out the doctrine because Australia has, which is one of the benefits of the Westminster system, it's a parliament of record. So they record everything. They have Hansard. They have everything written down. So where's your doctrine?
Oh, you mean that Hansard where Senator Watt said to Senator Thorpe that sovereignty is unaffected? You mean that Hansard going back a couple of years now? Oh, that's a bit of a damaging statement. That sovereignty is unaffected by the voice. And he was, Senator Watt was representing the Federal Attorney General at the time. You mean that Hansard? Look, Australia, you don't have a deal. You don't have a doctrine. You can't represent us for and on behalf of our nation at the international world. If you don't want to come to the table and talk proper, we will start to represent ourselves at the international sphere, which will then circumvent Australia. It'll leave them sitting out in the wilderness as being belligerents that don't support the charter of the UN, which is very, very serious to the... they were one of the founding members of the UN, yet they don't support the charter that they signed up to and created. So, you know, this is just showing that they're in very poor light, that Australia is not very honest. They're not open to the legal challenge. They if they had the doctrine, they would produce and they would just crush us. So, look, it's more serious than that. What can Australia offer the Aboriginal people? You know, it can offer, I suppose, administrative ability. But who owns the country? If you own the mineral resources, the big iron ore mine, the coal, for example, if you own it, you don't need Australia. You can go forward on your own as an international, in the international world, and start to represent yourself with, from somewhere of substance.
And that's it for Black Law Tribal Edition. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back next week. May God's peace be upon you, wherever you are listening to the program. And once you understand sovereignty, you understand that sovereignty is the supernatural, and the supernatural certainly is present here on the Yidinji territory, and that is God. And so we wish you well, and go with God, and God may God protect you and bless you wherever you are listening to the show. In the almighty name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, we'll catch you next week.